is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. WMVP Chicago.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, let's go live to Soldier Field right now. Not waste any time. A couple hours away from Bears and Bucks. Big game, Bears 3-1, but as we mentioned earlier, of those 16 quarters of football, they played like good football, like four of those quarters, 25% of the time.
It's not good enough.
No. Jeff Dickerson covers the Bears, does a great job, has been covering this team for a lot of years, and he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. What's up, JD?
Gentlemen, this is the first scene setter hit before a national game we've done together when there's no scene to set, unfortunately. It is just so strange. And again, I felt it, you know, of course, being here for the two home games on a Sunday. But then you get here on a Thursday night before a Thursday night game, and you see two random joggers outside of Soldier Field, one of them pushing a stroller, and that's it.
That's incredible.
Besides security. It is very odd. I really do think that tonight will be the strangest. You know, a night game, you know, nationally televised night game with no one in the building being here. But here we are. And as you said, Sylvie, I mean, I think the issue right now that the Bears are facing is that they've only played a couple of good quarters this year. Now, they are 3-1, which is fantastic. And no apologies for that. And that's going to help them a lot because they got a nice head start in this wacky NFL with all these injuries and, you know, outbreaks in Tennessee right now and hopefully nowhere else. But I think the reason that nationally most people are going with the Bucks tonight is because they just don't really believe much in that Bears 3-1 record.
JD, have you seen any of the Bucks players out? I mean, I'm interested to see whether or not Mike Evans gives this a go.
So, Tommy, I stepped out a second ago to talk to you guys, so I'm actually looking at the beautiful columns right now. But I was sitting at my seat for a while, and there was nobody out there. There was just a couple people milling around. So it hadn't happened yet, maybe since I've been out in the hallway here for 2 minutes, that they've been out there. But, yeah, that'll be one to watch when that happens. Hey, the Bucks are banged up.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, guys. Let's remember this, okay? I know this is people get tired of hearing this, but this is true. Weird things happen on Thursday night.
Yes.
This is not a typical routine for a player. It is so hard to go from a Sunday to a Thursday and play well. And the Bucks had to travel, and they have these injuries on offense. So it's not as if this is going to be a slam dunk. I think this is actually going to be a really close game. I think the tipping point is, you know, we just haven't seen the Bears offense consistently play well throughout a game. I don't feel like this is going to be a game tonight where if you fall behind by 16 points, that you're coming back in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? Like the Colts game last weekend. They weren't going to come back and win that game. They were lucky they got to 19-11. So I think that's the stumbling point right now. I think the defense is up for the challenge. I think the defense feels like, you know what, we haven't really played as well as we can play. We're a lot better than this. This is a great opportunity to show it, you know, on Thursday night. And they're feeling pretty good, but I just don't know what you're going to get from the offense. Because of that uncertainty, I think a lot of people would say, well, let's just go with the better team, a team that has, you know, Tom Brady, a team that has a lot of these weapons, a team that has a good defense. But I think the Bears can absolutely keep this close, and I wouldn't be stunned out of here tonight, you know, hopefully facing no traffic going home late, that they could win this game. I could see that.
JD, we've talked a lot about trust in the last two shows. So what do you trust more to happen tonight? That Nick Foles plays better or that Matt Nagy sticks with the run better?
Oh, I think Nick Foles will play better tonight. The run, Sylvie, you know what? Hit me on the head with a hammer once, and if I let you do it a second time, I'm an idiot, okay?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The run thing just hasn't been where it needs to be for 2.5 years now. Now, we could point to a lot of different reasons. The offensive line did them no favors. sometimes I think the run calls are a little too cute. I mean, we just enough with some of these gadget run plays. You know, I think a real, you know, the real, you know, test of a team running the football is between the tackles with your stud running back, who you think's a stud running back. You know, they've talked so much about David Montgomery being an all-purpose back, guys. They haven't treated him like one, have they?
No.
They just haven't. They haven't treated him like they believe that he's a guy that should carry the ball 20 times a game. I'm not sure if Matt Nagy wants to do that ever. So I would probably put the run game and say, you know what, if it happens, great. But I feel better about Foles. I think Foles will play a lot better than what he played. I think he was off. I don't blame it all on the run game. There were some throws down the field that he did not make. I think he was a little slow to see some reads. Matt Nagy even said that to us on the Zoom call on Tuesday. I think he is better than what he showed you last week. Is it going to be like this, you know, miraculous, you know, three, fourth quarter touchdowns every single Sunday? No, because he's Nick Foles. He's been on five teams in 9 years. It is what it is. But he will play better than last week. I don't think you're walking out of here tonight being like, oh, my God, they got to go back to Trubisky. I think if they lose, they lose. But I don't think that's going to be something you're going to be talking too much about.
I had to tell you, J.D., after looking at the film, I mean, it was bad against the Colts. And I give the Colts defense a lot of credit. They're always in the right spot. They don't break assignments. They're fast. They play hard. But I was, even with all that in mind, I was very disappointed in what I saw across the board. And we've talked all week this week about, you know, you got 12 games now with your new coaching staff, with a quarterback you trust, with people you've helped pick. How much pressure is on Matt Nagy to take this offense to another level over the next 3 months?
Tom, I would think it's the pressure is on everybody. I think the last thing they want to have to do is start from scratch again at quarterback in the offseason. Let's look at where things stand right now, okay? They're not going to bring back Trubisky. I'd be very surprised if that happens. I think Mitch needs a fresh start. Go someplace. Hey, you know what? There could be some jobs open in the offseason. Place to go sign, maybe compete, maybe be a well-paid backup. He needs a break from here. The Bears need a break from him. It needs to be a mutual parting. I think that's going to happen. So he's not going to be in the mix. If it doesn't work out with Foles, what are they doing here? They're going to draft a quarterback in the first round? They're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. Okay? They're not going to get him. Maybe they'll get like the fifth rated guy out of that list. I don't think they're going to be, you know, 4-12 or 5-11, not because they're 3-0. They need this to work.
Yes.
What are they going to do if it doesn't work?
That's
There's
my
no
point.
Better veteran option out there.
That's my point.
That would be available than Nick Foles. Guys, this was the offseason of the veteran quarterback. This was it. Look at all the veterans that moved. Look at all these guys from Brady to Rivers to Bridgewater. Go on and on and on. Cam Newton's now in New England. He's not leaving there after 1 year. So they had this was their shot. They swung and they went for Foles. And
who'd they call, JD, who'd they call first? Because we played like the Dan Patrick audio. And he says that Brady, you know, this was from a couple weeks ago. And we brought it back a little while ago. That Brady considered the Bears strongly. And the Bears were number two on his list. Who do you believe the Bears called first? Was it Bridgewater? Was it Brady? Was Foles always the plan? Who was their number one target in the offseason?
Well, I think if you have to be smart, if Tom Brady is available, you have to look into Tom Brady. So, I mean, you do your work. Of course, if he's available, you look at him. Now, Bridgewater, the problem there is they had Mitch. So they don't think Bridgewater did not rank in the same stratosphere as Tom Brady, whereas if you sign Tom Brady, of course Mitch is gone. Bridgewater wasn't coming here to compete for a job with Trubisky. There's no way. And he got the money from Carolina to back it up. And then there's Foles. That was an easy trade for them to make because of the connections. So, I mean, I'm sure they looked into Tom Brady. I never felt it was actually going to happen. I don't know if they actually felt it was actually going to happen, but I mean, you can probably do everything simultaneously, can't you? I mean, when you're going through these quarterbacks, you try to piece everything together. I'm sure once they figured out that they were not going to get Brady, that Nick Foles was probably the best next option in their minds because, again, this is a Matt Nagy guy. This is an Andy Reid system guy. And they knew that if they brought him here, it was only probably going to be a matter of time until he played. So they had to have someone that had some of the framework in place, and that's why you have Nick Foles.
JD, the conversation last year was, why didn't you run the football? And Matt would continually step to the microphone and say, I know, we're going to do it. I have to do it. I think the question now in similar fashion is when is Cole Kmet going to get more run? And we heard this week him say, yes, he's got to get. But he's in charge of who's playing. So Right. Are we going to see? I mean, is your anticipation that we're going to see more of Cole Kmet?
I think you will early. See, the problem, Tom, is that I think Matt Nagy has very good intentions. I think he wants to run the ball. I think he wants to get Cole Kmet involved. I think he wants to do all these things. But we've seen this offense now, when they fall behind, everything goes out the window. And they've been behind now pretty big in three of the first four games. So you might have all these grandiose ideas for Cole Kmet, and then you're chasing, 16 points or whatever, and he doesn't fit with what you want to do at that given time.
Oof.
I don't think Cole Kmet's done anything wrong. I wouldn't be sour on the kid. Just hasn't had a chance yet. So, I do think that tonight would be something to look at. But, again, whether or not it happens remains to be seen.
Yeah.
But Mooney establishes himself pretty easily as a fifth-round guy. So why not Kmet?
Well, but think about the role that Darnell Mooney plays, Sylvia. I mean, he's a wide receiver you can throw out there in any situation, any formation. He's got a lot of speed. He stretches the field. So, I mean, you want him out there, especially the Bears who have been down every game. They have to try to throw it in. They want to take some shots. They want to do that stuff. So, I mean, I think it's easier to assimilate him and what you want to do regardless than it is, Cole Kmet. I mean, Cole Kmet's a very good, they think he's a good two-way tight end. But, I mean, again, I don't have the playbook in front of me to tell you, but I can tell you that Darnell Mooney, when you're a wide receiver, and right now you're the second wide receiver versus the second tight end down the list, it's easier to get a guy like Mooney more involved.
I just hope, JD, he's not getting reps because they gave Jimmy Graham $9 million. And
oh, I don't think that's I've been flummoxed by many things in my life, and I can't say anything for certain, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, where things stand right now with Jimmy Graham, it's pretty obvious that he's a good red zone threat. Between the 20s, though, not so much. I mean, right now he's showing you that he can run 10 yards, post a guy up, and make the catch. But between the 20s, we haven't really seen much of him. So I think what he's showing you the first four games might be what you're going to get for him the entire year. I think they would be naive not to see that, since they've seen it now for a month.
Yes, agreed.
Are you happy with what the Bears are giving you pass rusher-wise?
I mean, it can be a lot better, don't you think? It's okay. I know that the defense has a lot of talent, and there's a lot of great players on this defense, and the numbers aren't terrible. And, again, Matt Nagy has said multiple times that when you give up 19 points, you should win. But I just don't think that they're playing dominant football. And that starts with the pass rush. Phillip Rivers is not a mobile guy. Only got to him a couple of times. You got so much money invested right now in Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn. I would be expecting more. I think Akeem Hicks has had a great year. I think he's been outstanding on the defensive line. But, guys, I mean, think of the money you have kicked in to elevate that pass rush. And tell me right now, through four games, has the pass rush from the edges been better this year? Has it been noticeably better this year compared to last year with Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd?
No, it hasn't. Say,
not really. Not at all, right?
No.
All right, so did you give us a score?
I did not. We did not have to give picks on a Thursday night. Well, how about that?
Like, yeah, then you're going to give us one.
Get out of jail free card from ESPN.
Back in jail, you got to give us a pick.
Yeah, you got to give your buddies a pick.
I had no pick to give, no what to watch for, all the other crazy things that we do. I think it's going to be closer than people believe. I know nationally, no one's given the Bears much of a chance. I think the Bears could win. I think the injuries for the Buccaneers do matter. I think playing on Thursday night does matter. I think it's a strange deal for the Bucs to be traveling here and playing these injuries. But I will still, guys, go Tampa. I'll say Tampa 24, Bears 20.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. All right, pretty much right where that line is at 3.5 right now. So you just barely have them covering.
I listen to the odds couple on ESPN 1000. So I get my information, Carm and Northy. So I'm all good.
Yeah. All right, JD. Great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks, JD.
guys, you enjoy the game, and we'll talk very soon.
You got
it. There you go. There's Jeff Dickerson. He's awesome. We've been talking to him for many, many, many years, previewing Bears games.
I'm just like, when the tight end conversation, like, why can't we take Jimmy Graham off the field and insert Cole Kmet for some of Jimmy Graham's reps?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, I know that Mooney, you know, there's a need, but there was a big need for Cole Kmet, and I still think there is a big need for Cole Kmet. Jimmy Graham is a good red zone target. But, all right, we'll take your calls. If you want to weigh in, how do you feel about today? Waddle's got a feeling about the game.
I got a feeling.
And he'll tell you about it next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I've never seen a snake anywhere near this size, and my hands were shaking as I approached her.
What was that?
Was I reading from a script? I've never seen a snake anywhere near this size, and my hands were shaking as I approached her.
Whack that thing!
I was trying trying for a role in Anaconda 3.
Whack that thing!
That was your nuttiest story of the day. Come on, Waddle.
Yeah!
That's right. 312-332-3776. Did you pour yourself a beverage?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Through it.
Did you find anything through in the office?
Your booze collection is crap.
Well, I mean, look, it's an office collection. It's whatever I had left over there.
Well, I think you need to call Carmen for a little bit of little help. So I went to Carmen's. I got a little Templeton rye for the fellas. Poured four glasses. And
look at you guys.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Who? Four glasses. So it's you, Black, Abdallah, and who?
Eric.
Oh, Eric's here.
Oh, he's two-fisting in there, double-fisting.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a Strauss.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. They're calling each other names in there as well.
Are they? You'd what are you guys getting about?
It's game day, man. I mean, there's a whole lot of testosterone flying around in the studio. Woo!
So Tom Brady has always beaten the Bears.
He's always beaten everybody.
Well, no. Do you know? Guess how many teams haven't beaten the Bears? I mean, haven't beaten the Tom Brady.
How many teams have not beaten Tom Brady?
Yes.
The Bears haven't beaten him.
Right. They're one of how many teams? I don't have the list, but I've got the fact that the Bears are one of this many teams to have never, ever, ever beat Tom Brady.
I'm going to guess four.
Black Abdallah, do you guys have a guess?
I feel like I've seen this on SportsCenter before, and it's super low, so I'm going to say two.
Wow, no
I'm
way.
I'm going to say they're the only team.
He's been in the league
the
for
the only team that hasn't beaten Tom Brady.
Five teams. Whoa. I don't have the list of the other four, but the Bears are one of five teams of the 32, 31 other ones, counting whoever's playing Brady, that have never beaten Tom Brady.
Gentlemen, this just in. Pom, 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 pom.
Is this a Mike Evans update?
Mike Evans will play tonight.
Ooh, okay. I'm not changing my prediction.
Yeah, I was surprised that you thought he was going to miss the game.
Were you surprised when I told you Julio Jones wasn't going to play and he didn't play, mister? No? Okay. I just thought Mike Evans, if you saw how he got hurt in the game against the Chargers, I mean, his ankle, like, was really collapsed on him, and then he limped his way through.
Yeah, he kept playing, right?
He did. I give him a lot of credit for being out there doing that. But I told you 1,000 times, I always thought that an ankle was harder to play on than a knee. I know I'm using Wani speak right now. I'm saying an ankle injury is more difficult to deal with than a knee injury.
Dallas, Jimmy used to have those ankle injuries.
Yeah, right. Who's the kid that's a fantastic player for the Bucs, too? He's a local kid. Is it Scotty Miller?
Tom Brady.
No, he's not a local kid.
Another wide receiver?
Yeah, I believe it. Isn't it Scotty Miller?
I believe you're right.
And
double check that.
I think that when Mike Evans went out in that game,
yeah, he went to Barrington High School.
Yeah, Scotty Miller is their leading receiver right now. He's out of Bowling Green.
Yeah, what is doesn't Tom Brady call him something like Chip or something or Skippy or something like that? Scooter. He may call him Scooter, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 5'9", 175 pounds.
I think he calls him Scooter.
He was drafted in the sixth round last year. He's had, you know what? He's had a really good start to his NFL career.
Another Edelman type?
Yeah. Last year, just 13 catches. So far this year in four games, he's got 15 catches for 250 yards.
Boy.
In a touchdown. And he's their speed guy right now.
You're like, a kid from Barrington, and then Tom Brady trusts you like that?
Yeah.
And calls you Scooter?
He calls you Scooter. I wish Tom Brady called me Scooter.
We're like,
just call me Scooter.
Harbaugh used to call you Slowpoke.
Used to call me Diesel.
Dave in Norwich, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Sylvie, just want to say much love to you, man. Best of luck with everything. Congrats on the remission, man.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you.
Yeah, so I just wanted to throw out a quick theory. I was telling Adam, I almost think that the Bears went to get Jimmy Graham to kind of lure Tom Brady into Chicago.
Oh, Tom Brady didn't want to play with him.
You go get Gronk for that,
yeah,
right?
You go to Gronk for him.
You lure Gronk to lure Brady.
I'm just saying I believe that Chicago was second, and I believe that they went into a pitch saying, come on, Brady, we'll give you that veteran tight end that you love, that you thrive with. We're going to go out and get Jimmy Graham. And he may have just rolled his eyes, but I kind of feel like that was their pitch. What do you guys think?
That would be really a low pitch.
Here's what I...
It bounces before home plate. Jimmy Graham just failed with you saw what Aaron Rodgers has replaced Jimmy Graham with.
Tanyan.
And then Russell Wilson before that was pretty quick to just say, okay, we're done with Jimmy Graham, and he went to Green Bay after Seattle, and
two years
in Green Bay, and
and I don't get it. I really don't. And I've said a million times, Jimmy's had a fantastic career in the National Football League. But the arrow was not pointing in the right direction. And I don't know, like last year in Green Bay, his 2 years in Green Bay, in two seasons with Aaron Rodgers, he had 93 total catches for just over 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Like, that's a bad year for Jimmy Graham in his prime.
Yes. Now, I as you've seen here...
And that was 2 years.
Here in Chicago, he's already got 3 touchdowns. They're all red zone touchdowns. I still think he is a red zone goal line threat. But if you watch the film, you see a guy who looks 33 and struggles to create separation. And in this offense, you need somebody like Zach Ertz that can open things up in the middle of the field by stretching a defense. And that's why I'm saying to you, like, look, I got no problem giving Jimmy Graham reps down in the red zone. But when you're going from the 20s to the 20s, I don't know why you're not giving Cole Kmet more of an opportunity. He's a second round pick. You trust Jalen Johnson?
Yes.
Why are you not trusting
Mooney?
Right. It's not like you have, you know, the Bucks when they're healthy, all of their offensive weapons.
Like someone in the Twitch chat was saying that, look, this narrative is stupid about Cole Kmet. He says, first-year tight ends don't contribute right away. Rookie tight ends don't contribute right away. You buying that?
No. I don't know why that's why is that a narrative?
That a rule?
Yeah, I mean, that's a silly narrative to me. Why?
No tight end ever has contributed as a rookie?
I think the kid in Detroit contributed as a rookie,
yeah,
right?
He did, yeah.
I mean...
T.J. Hockerson, yeah, is that his name?
Find a way to get him involved. Like, you can't just randomly say, well, you're a rookie tight end, you can't be involved.
Yeah, like 16% of the snaps is ridiculous, isn't it?
To be fair,
especially when you say we got to improve that.
They still have Riley Ridley on the redshirt plan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
redshirted.
Can't
even be active.
Well, I go to what Sylvie mentioned to J.D., why is it that a wide receiver can play as a rookie, but a tight end can't? Like, I'm personally not someone that buys that narrative. So,
all right, you still got to tell us. So Waddle came in today and he says he's just got a gut feeling.
Yeah.
What do you have a gut feeling about tonight? 312-332-3776. You want to zoom in? Something about Foles? Something about committing to the run game? Something about Akeem Hicks bothering Tom Brady with a pass rush? What are you predicting in this game that you've got a good feeling about? Let's load it up for the last half hour of the show at 312-332-3776. We're guest-free the rest of the way. All of your calls and the trust factor about Matt Nagy coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Silva and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, the latest from Soldier Field, we just told you in the last segment, is that Mike Evans is playing tonight. At least he's going to give it a go. He had his workout. They consulted with their general manager and trainer after the workout. And as of now, he's a go. So,
all right, keep an eye on him. I mean, when he's ready, when he's 100%, he is a force on the football field. So,
do you guys want some non Bears related NFL news?
No.
Yeah, of course.
No? Okay, no, we'll just go to the call. The Broncos and Patriots has been moved to Monday night. It was originally scheduled for 3:25 on Sunday, and it is being moved to Monday night. So once again, as of right now,
they think
they can play Monday, and there will be two Monday night football games once again.
And the Tennessee Titans have just been dissolved as a franchise, right?
Tennessee Titans are going to Canada,
yeah,
and they will be coached by Mark Trestman in the CFL.
You know, it's funny because, again, we remember we were regulating the Marlins, and the Marlins beat the Cubs in the playoffs.
I think the Marlins are regulating themselves.
We were regulating the Cardinals, and the Cardinals made it to the playoffs, too.
Yeah. I think the Braves did that for us today.
Yeah, they relegated us.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, I know what you're saying.
Before we, like, start penalizing and again, like, at least baseball, like, do you remember, hey, did the Cardinals go to this casino? Hey, were the Marlins not doing the right thing on their plane and everything like that? And then everyone got the message. Okay, we got to be careful when we're in hotels.
Look, I'm not writing off the Titans. They started the season 3-0, and if they do get their poos straight, I mean, they're a team to contend with for sure.
Yeah, maybe this, again, is the warning shot that the rest of the league needs. That,
yeah.
Hey, take this seriously. Like, traveling is still no joke right now, even though we're closer to a vaccine. We've got to be very careful. We cannot take anything for granted. So I'm hoping it's just like the baseball store where something flashes early and then by the end of the year, it's a distant memory. I mean, Buster Olney, again, and I always talk about that soundbite,
yeah,
that there was a 5% chance of starting the season is a 0% chance he gave them of finishing the season.
I give baseball, I give the NBA, I give the NHL like a total tip of the cap. And look, like you just described, the NFL is going through some things that Major League Baseball went through early on, and here's hoping they learn from their mistakes, and then they'll get a tip of the chapeau as well.
Yes. Jimmy in Barrington, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jimmy?
How's it going, guys?
Jimmy!
Bears, we're ready.
Ready for a Bears victory Thursday?
Oh, it would be a victory Friday.
Friday, yeah.
Victory Friday. Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, I'm calling because, though I never got to coach Scotty Miller, I'm the middle school coach, and I got there after he was in middle school. I saw that kid run in high school, man. And I'm telling you, if you have not seen the video of him as the anchor leg in the prelims of the state meet, you got to watch it. He gets it in, like, eighth place. The team that eventually wins state is, like, light years ahead of him, and he just comes flying down the track.
Yeah.
So all we have to do is Google that, Scotty Miller state track meet.
It was when, you remember when they had that big debate with Tyreek Hill, like who would beat him in a 100? There's like a local high school running group like Mile Split or something that tweeted out the anchor leg of it. And I mean, the announcer goes nuts. He probably closes 15 meters in 100 meters. It's nuts. I mean, the kid went 10.52, I want to say. Was flying. The kid who ended up winning the 100 that year went on to win all of these accolades, was on like the U.S. Olympic team, and Scotty probably would have had a good chance of beating him in the 100, but he tweaked his hamstring in the prelims literally halfway down the track and still made it into the final. I mean,
did you ever think he would be catching passes from Tom Brady?
So, honestly, I would say 50-50 because we always talked about him as like, is he going to be a professional track athlete someday? And the sad part was there were no colleges that like really looked at him out of high school. In fact, I think Bowling Green is the only one that gave him an offer. And it was because he's really small. And but he's shifty and he's fast and he has found like the perfect spot. He's that guy that just can get open in the field. So when they drafted him, it was really cool to watch. But, you know, I mean, Todd Kuklinski, Barrington Track, did a great job with that kid, and he just blew. Just blew.
Well, that's when awesome. when they needed a big play, Jimmy, on Sunday against the Chargers, I believe Scotty Miller delivered.
Yeah, like, he caught four passes in a row.
Yeah.
The first one was that big 45-yarder, and then the next play was right in the end zone, and then I think he caught two right away after that.
That's pretty cool. Jimmy, thank you. Yeah. Great Thanks, information. Zach in Norridge, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Zach?
Hey, boys. How we doing?
Good. Great.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Sylvie, all the love and prayers. And honestly, this radio show got a whole lot of people through quarantine. So big shout-out to you guys.
Thank you, Zach. Thanks, appreciate Zach. It.
I want to go with my gut feeling tonight on the Bucks. So we are big degenerate gamblers. We love DraftKings Sportsbook, and somehow the Bucks found a way into a grand total of about 18 parlays between me and my friend.
Oh boy!
So we went out with our gut feeling that the Bears can't stop the run. It's the GOAT. We don't trust the offense. All that, and everything just kind of spells out that the Bears are going to win tonight. So,
you just made a case for the Bucks to roll, and then you just said that the Bears are going to win.
Man, listen, we're sitting on six legs of seven-leg parlays, and it's all the
yeah,
Bucks.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what Zach is talking about. Like, I've made a ton of teaser bets. They all involve the Patriots, which means they're all going to lose on the Patriots. Or on the
100%,
the
Bucks.
You know what I mean, Tom
Brady. So what you have is you have a bunch of bets that need the Bucks to actually come through, and then you cash. I guess.
And now, because of the amount of the of Bucks bets that I have out, I know that they're going to lose.
Wow,
yeah,
Zach, that's good.
That's the worst thing I could ever hear, but go Bucks, and side note, go Astros. Love
go
you guys.
Bucks?
God, get out of here,
He's
Zach.
Really backing his money, yeah.
God, he said go Astros, too.
He did. Yeah. Like, I'm with you there. Did the Astros close
Well, they're close up
that
big.
Thing out?
They're up seven.
Yeah, we changed the channel.
Yeah, I said to Abdallah during the break that this is not a joke, the Astros are hitting like they're cheating.
Yes.
Like, it's crazy. Every time you look up, the Astros are hitting another home run or a ball off the wall.
I'm telling you, if you like chaos and you want something, you need an angle, you need a hook for the American League playoffs, the Astros going as far as they can is that hook.
Yeah, and I like Tampa, but I want the Yankees to win and come back just so it is more chaos between the Yankees and the Astros.
By the way, I need to get your thought on that whole bat flip and then the where was this at? Which teams? It was San Diego and it was the Dodgers.
Yeah,
and
was I this know Machado? You Tell you me, fill me in on this.
You love yourself a bat flip.
Yes.
Okay.
I love it. You show emotion as much as you want.
Absolutely. But at the end of the game, I believe, and I don't know, Chris, you may have better knowledge of this because I see you shaking your head than I do. But at the end of the game, the Dodgers closed it out, and then the Dodgers basically celebrated. The Dodgers pitcher threw his glove like a bat flip and then kind of like waved at the Padres dugout. Do I have that right?
It wasn't the last out.
It wasn't?
I think it was in the inning.
Okay.
But who was mad?
What's-his-face? Rob Bellinger?
Bellinger threw it after the Bellinger catch.
Okay.
So I did not see it. And Carmen was describing, is this true that Machado was mad by the guy doing that?
Yes, because the pitcher threw his glove almost like a bat flip and then like kind of gave them a little wave.
He's doing sky points and heart pounds. And you could see Machado doing it.
What was he saying, Abdallah?
If you've ever seen Half-Baked, it's when Scarface quits his fast food job and he goes he's pointing at every Dodger that he can see.
Okay,
I have two rules about bat flipping. All right,
okay, go ahead.
Number one, bat flip away. Okay. That's rule number one. Bat flip as much as you want.
Yeah.
Rule number two of bat flipping is if you bat flip, do not be mad when someone bat flips back. So if you bat flip like Machado, and then you're pissed at a guy celebrating then extra hard because then they got you back. I've always said this about the Cubs.
Yes.
The Cubs could dance away in the bullpen, dance for every home run, and Javi, flip your bat, and Willie, flip your bat. But when the team does it back to you, Don't get mad.
Okay, I have one addendum to this, okay? Like, I agree with you, except when, like, if Willie flips his bat and then barks at the pitcher and starts, you know, basically taunting the pitcher, flip your bat and then go into your trot. I'm cool with that. But when you start to be the tough guy after the bat flip and then you jaw at the pitcher, that's where I'm like, okay, that's silly. Same way with the pitcher. Like, I'm no problem when a pitcher goes crazy enthusiastic when he gets a big strikeout and he celebrates. But if you're yelling at the batter and you're screaming obscenities at him and you're basically taunting him, I'm not in for that on either end.
So you didn't like what the Dodgers did then? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that anytime when you celebrate without jawing at the opponent, I'm all good for it. Flip away. You could walk on hands and knees from home plate to first base and just crawl around the bases.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with it. But when you do it and then you look at the pitcher and you start yelling obscenities at him or vice versa, then you've lost me.
That's lame.
Well, that's fine. I'm lame then. That's how I roll. That's fine if you bat flip. But when you start jawing...
Okay, so what if you do jaw? What do you like? You're not throwing at the guy. I mean,
I don't believe in throwing at people.
So then, what's the big deal?
Yeah, what?
My point is that that's I'm fine with bat flips. I'm not fine with then having some sort of verbal confrontation with the guy. I think that's foolish. That's weak. That's childish. I can differentiate between a bat flip, then bat flipping, and then staring down the pitcher and then MFing him as you go to first base.
When someone
that's
dunks
childish.
Over someone, they stare at
I
them.
I don't care. I'm just I can differentiate
someone
between
hits somebody,
the two.
You know, how many times did guys talk trash to you?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time.
Can we write these down, though, so they're not unwritten?
Yes, they're written rules.
I'm just telling you. I mean, I think there's a difference between the two.
I'm for it all. I'm for it all.
Oh, so you're for I'm a guy for, hitting a home run, flipping a bat, and then basically looking at the pitcher and calling him
expect.
And all of his family disrespecting him.
I'm with Sylvie.
Well, just expect it back then.
Yeah.
Just expect it back.
I just
back.
Don't think it should happen on either front.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
I almost swore. Be an adult.
More of your Bears calls, too. What are you expecting tonight? What do you have a feeling on? And our predictions all coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we'll give you our predictions here shortly and take a couple of phone calls. Abdallah's got more news, though, about the way the NFL is puzzling the season together. Listen how interesting this is, Waddle, how flexible they're being with the different games with the Titans and the Patriots. Currently, they still plan on having the Titans and the Patriots play this week. Abdallah, run down the schedule now going out.
Okay, so the Patriots game that was supposed to be on Sunday is now going to be on Monday. We know that. Schefter is now reporting that the Titans-Bills game that was supposed to be on Sunday is going to be moved to Tuesday as long as there are no more positive tests with Tennessee. Okay, so unless there's no positive tests, game will be Tuesday
kindly
night.
Kindly pay you for a hamburger tomorrow for a hamburger today.
So the Bills were supposed to play the Chiefs on Thursday, so give them one day off and they can play another game, right? No.
Yes, absolutely. So, you play Tuesday, you play Thursday, and then you play Saturday.
So the Bills and Chiefs game is now going to be moved to Sunday. So the Bills will have to play probably Tuesday, maybe, and then again on Sunday against the Chiefs. This goes from a Chiefs team that was supposed to play 3 games in 10 days to now they get the regular schedule.
So you're
this
a Super Bowl benefits, champ.
This
it benefits
the
you.
Chiefs.
Yes.
It benefits the Chiefs.
And now
yeah.
hurts the Bills instead of it
well,
hurting
the Bills
the Chiefs.
Were going to be on a short week anyway, weren't they?
Well, no,
because they were playing on a Thursday night.
But the Chiefs went from Monday, Sunday. It would have been 3 games in the, like 11 days.
Right.
That's true. But
it's
again,
good to
they're
be
trying.
The king.
They're trying to make it work. So next Thursday, it doesn't. If things go right, there will not be a Thursday night game next week. But we will have coming up here two Monday night games again, and then we'll get a Tuesday night game.
Two more things.
That's fine.
The Bears inactives are out. Deion Bush is inactive. Sharon McManus is inactive. Arlington Hambright is inactive. Daniel McCullers, Riley Ridley, for some reason, and Travis Gibson are all inactive. And one more thing. It's now time for the Screwball sign-up. Woo! So be caller 20 right now, and you will get $200 to the Country Club in Wrigleyville, courtesy of our wonderful partners at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
I like it.
A Thursday night with Screwball and the Bears is bound to
get a little nutty.
So then are we doing it again tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we'll do it again tomorrow.
$400 in gift cards we're
in
giving away.
Days.
So
yeah.
Right now, which caller again? 332-3776.
Caller 20.
20. Will in Peoria. Will, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
We're fantastic.
Listen, I just want to lay the groundwork for my prediction, and you guys tell me if I'm way off or if I'm closer than you think. All right, I looked at the schedule, and I came up with a 9-7 record for the Bears at the end of the season. Unless we can get a little lucky, then we might get to be 10-6. My prediction for tonight's game is that Nick Foles will rise to the level of his competition. In order for the Bears to win this game tonight, Tommy, you tell me if I'm wrong. You played football. There's always those games on the schedule that you look at and say, we should win that. We'll probably lose that. We'll probably win that. We played a Colts team last week that had a decent offense and a phenomenal defense. I look at Tampa as a very good offense and a not-so-good defense.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go with the fact that the Bears will win because our defense will have a good game and Nick Foles will have a good game. But I really believe, guys, tell me if I'm wrong, this is one of those games that was on the schedule that you look at and say this is going to be a huge measuring stick for where this football team is, right or wrong?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you're playing a team that has the same record as you, 3-1, but they're significantly better or have been collectively better than you over the first 4 weeks of the season. Defensively, this is a Bucs team that gives up 312 yards per game. Only the 49ers, the Steelers, and the Colts are better. So I would be careful thinking that this Bucs defense is a defense that you can get the best of. I think it's going to be very hard to move the football on them. So they're going to have to make some plays, and they're going to have to be mistake-free.
We argued, too, about the measuring stick game. I think it's an important game.
I'm with you.
The way I looked at it going in when they were 3-0 going into the Colts game and having these two quick games, Sunday and Thursday, my hope was to split. Like, I look at those, like, segments on the schedule and go, okay, I don't know if they're going to beat the Colts or they're going to beat the Patriots, but you got to win one of them. You know, they'll split these two. Then coming up over the next 4 weeks, I hope they go 2-2 and then keep the playoff record going. So I think it's a huge deal if they lose two games in 4 days and they fall to 3-2.
You know how I feel. You got 12 weeks right now to actually prove to everybody that this works. Your system works, the people that you've handpicked work, the coaches work, that it all works. Something to build on, show some improvement. You can't go through 3 years and be the 21st ranked offense, the 29th ranked offense, and the 25th ranked offense when you're here to help us be a better O.
Yeah,
you just can't.
Greg Braggs wants to weigh in. Braggs, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on, brother?
Let's go Bears, baby! Almost game time. This power hour, 5 p.m. power hour, was a great success. I've been drinking Jack Daniels the entire time.
Very nice.
That's fantastic. And I've retweeted a bunch of virtual tailgate pictures. A lot of people having a good time here on a Thursday night, getting their drink on.
By the way, not just Mike Evans is active. Leonard Fournette also active tonight.
Wow, he was doubtful.
Yes.
Wasn't he doubtful?
So doubtful to active.
That's the beauty of alcohol. In the midway minute, my guy Kevin Canuck, where I put the picks in, I had the Bears losing when I was using my brain. But now that I've been drinking some alcohol,
yes,
I feel like the Bears are – it is. It's the opposite. You always expect the unexpected with the Bears. Whatever it is, you think it's going to be the opposite. So it's going to be – the Nick Foles, the Super Bowl redo, it's going to be 41-33 Bears, just like the score of the Super Bowl for Nick Foles when he outplayed Tom Brady. That's what I'm thinking now that I've had a little Jack in my system.
That's good.
Have a
drink for me, all right, Braggs?
All right, bear down, guys.
There you go.
See you, buddy.
Braggs asked a poll question, is tonight the biggest night in Matt Nagy's career? That's a poll question he's got. And it's 50-50 right now, basically.
I'm just telling you, you got 12 weeks.
What?
I think you do. You got 12 weeks to prove to us that this thing works. I'm just saying, and then some important questions have to be asked. That's all.
Yeah, you don't want to start with two bad games from Nick Foles when you bench.
Do you want
Trubisky.
To tell us what your prediction for a score is, Chris?
Yeah, 27-21 Bucks.
I have the Bears winning 23-20.
Chris, all right, I hope you're right. And I hope they stick it to me. And I hope tomorrow we're doing a Victory Friday, and you can line it up, and then you can tell me that I was wrong. Let's do that. Abdallah Black, are you guys going to save your predictions coming up?
No, we can give it right now. I'm along the same lines as Sylvie because I'm not sure that Nagy's going to stick to the run against the second best team against the run defensively in the Bucks. So we'll see how that goes. I have the Bucks 24, Bears 20.
24-10 Bucks.
Wow.
24-10.
Woo! That's a spanking.
Dollar. The second best defense in the league.
That's a spanking. Yeah.
They only got 9 against the best defense, so
that's
I'm giving them one more.
That's a spanking.
Remember what Doug Kazarian gave out today? First half under is what he liked the most out of any of the bets in tonight's game.
All right, let's wrap this up. I got booze to drink.
All right, go Bears. Thanks to Doug Kazarian and JD. Bleck and Abdallah coming up in 2 minutes. They'll continue to take your phone calls. And thank you to them. And for Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night and go Bears.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.